This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here in the palatial studios in downtown Decatur, or as we like to call it, the empty building that houses Nick and myself. That's about it. A couple folding chairs. Really depressing. Paul Osborne is with us. He's looking to shorten his walk to the studios. And so in a couple of weeks, hopefully, that will be the case. You have a very interesting City Beat column this week, because I hadn't realized that there was any sort of controversy about having informal council sessions or meetings. But of course there is, because there's controversy about everything. Nick and I were talking about the metaverse. My idea of the metaverse is, where can I go where it's just me? I mean, can I shut the rest of the world out? There's a long history of doing this.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, you hold these informal meetings as the mayor and council members, and also the city manager and staff, to have direction, to discuss things informally. We used to do it at, you know, we'd have special nights at Tuscany's, spread some pizzas out on the table there, and we'd sit around and talk. Everyone is was invited. Hardly anyone ever came, you know, of
right.
course. And one reason, I think, that there's no TV cameras there is to play to. So
grandstand, it, right.
Yeah, and I learned a lot, and we got to know each other a lot better. We held them at the library and, you know, a few other restaurants around town. But I remember fondly that those were experiences we had. We joke a little bit, you know, and it was just it wasn't the same as a stiff official meeting. And we got a sense of not only of the direction we wanted to go as, you know, as a council, but also we got to know the other council members a little bit better. And I think that's always good, because you know, sometimes you see a council member up there doing this or doing that, but that's, you know, that's not the way that person really is when it's just one-on-one. And so I think those sessions, they're not illegal. Certainly the city clerk notifies the media that these sessions are going to be held. There's nothing sneaky about them. It's just I was surprised that, you know, someone, more than one, said, you know, what's going on here? Are they trying to sneak stuff through?
You know, I think that in any business, you have planning meetings, or you have things, and oftentimes you want to get out of your normal day-to-day environment and get into another creative space or a place that you think a little differently. I mean, it's a pretty common occurrence.
Well,
I wonder if some of these complainers have ever, like, worked anywhere.
Apparently not.
I mean, it seems so weird this would be where you would land.
Well, any business does this, and certainly when you have an official body with so many ideas, you know, I think it's nice to know informally kind of what you're throwing out there. No official action is ever taken. No vote is ever taken. If anything ever comes to this, it's usually in the form of the city manager preparing an agenda item. This is what we discussed at that informal session. Do you want to go ahead with this now or not? So I can say, being on the inside for all those years, you know, there's really nothing sneaky about this, because there's no vote that can be taken. There's no action that can be taken at these meetings. It's just to get a sense for staff and the city manager that this is the way the city council kind of is talking about going.
Yeah.
What can you do to give us more information on that?
Planning.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. It's not voting. It's planning.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that has there ever been the dynamic of people playing to the cameras or the microphones at a city council meeting versus the actual number of people that watch that? I've never seen a more overrated thing in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, actually reaching viewers.
Well, I had someone come to the Tribune a few years ago, and I kind of recognized the name because I knew he'd gone before council a lot. And he said that one of the first things he said is, you know, I'm so-and-so. You probably know me from watching me at the city council meetings. I had a notion to say, oh, are you a council member?
Right.
So I think there's a certain degree of celebrity. You know, you probably know me from seeing me on TV in front of the council meeting, telling the council off or giving the council information.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think any stars are born there on TV at the council meetings.
No, that is one of the most over-exaggerated perceived audiences that there ever has been of anything. But I do believe that's part of the anger for some people is they can't go do it at the Decatur Club.
Yeah, it's just if you want to suffer too, you know, you suffer there where we have you in those chairs, and you know, we'll confront you there. But
yeah,
as I mentioned, we had some people come to those informal meetings that kind of sat around the side and listened and saw what was going on. And the fact that this is announced, it meets all the legal requirements of notification and that. We did it, and it's been done for years, and I think it makes the city council stronger. It makes the relationship between the city manager and the council more focused on where we want to go. And that's another thing, Brian. You know, the city manager, he can't just make up stuff. He has to know, you know, what does the council want out of this?
Well, yeah, and in fairness to every city manager, right? I mean, it's hard to get anything done when you're getting jerked around in like six different directions.
Yeah, you need, because I think when we'd have study sessions in the council chambers, what I always try to deliver is a direction for the city manager. We have the study session. You know, I talk to each council member during that meeting. And then I would turn to the city manager and say, this is the direction we want to go. You know, can you get the information for us and bring it up at this meeting or the next meeting? Because council seems to have a consensus now. This is the direction. And city managers need that direction. Their expertise is not to go out here on their own. It's to use that expertise to formulate a plan that council wants.
All right. We've been talking about a lot of anniversaries this year. Clearly, we just went through the 9/11 anniversary. I didn't realize yesterday was the 20th anniversary of that concert for New York, which was aired on MTV Classic. I get the front page of the Tribune today. And October 10th, this past a couple of weeks, was the final NFL game or the Staley's game played here in Decatur 100 years ago.
Yeah, well, I wasn't there, by the way.
I was going to say, young Cub reporter.
No.
The Staleys beat the visiting Rock Island team 14-0 on October 10th, 1921.
Yeah. This city had a strong history, you know, of the NFL, George Halas and the Decatur Staleys. And when this started, all the players on that team were Staley workers. You know, like the Bears started with a team of Staley employees. And George Halas, he didn't manage it the first year. From the second year on, you know, he did. And then he went to, he moved it to Cubs ballpark in Wrigley Field.
What now is Wrigley Field, yes.
Yeah, and that's where they played for like the next half century. But he was drawing crowds up there almost immediately of 15,000 and more, which was pretty substantial for that time. And that was almost 100 years ago.
So 5,000 fans were there for that 1921 game. It's hard for me to picture what that would look like down there.
Yeah.
As an NFL game going on.
Yeah. Well, and 5,000 in a city with a population far less than we have now, that would probably equate to 20,000 or 25,000 now. So that was a big draw, but that was an entertainment back then. Of course, you had all the Staley employees, too, that were enthused because, you know, husbands and brothers and that were playing on the team, you know, at that time. But I think Mr. Staley then did make a deal with George Halas, and I think there's a certain amount of money that was paid, and he wanted to retain the name, I think, for a year after he moved to Chicago. So an agreement was reached, and the Chicago Bears actually became the Chicago Bears, but started out as Decatur Staleys.
All right, 100 years ago, that last game in Decatur, they played the rest of the season there at what was then called Cubs Park before it was Wrigley Field. So very interesting. I haven't been to a Bears game in a long time, but the last time I was there in one of the gift shops at Soldier Field, you could buy Decatur Staley shirts.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, and we have this big sign. You know, when you come in, this is the home of it's Chicago Bears, Decatur Staley's, and it's on the north side of Decatur. You drive through, and probably someone coming to Decatur for the first time or driving through would see that and say, wow, yeah, didn't know that. So sometimes signs we take for granted because, you know, we kind of know the history of our community. Other people find very interesting.
Absolutely. It's a big part of the history. Where was the actual field?
It was over, if I remember correctly, it was over close to the Staley office building over there, where the office building is now. It was kind of like
I've been told it was maybe on the other side of what is now the viaduct.
Yeah. And So that was kind of where they played their games. I think their baseball games were played there also. But it was like we would have in the Park District today, you know, ball diamond, or in this case here, a football field. But there was a lot of interest in it, obviously, right from the start. You know, when you draw 5,000 people for that last game in Decatur.
Oh, what I love is going back to that time and looking at all the other teams and their names. You know, Moline were the Universal Tractors. there was the Rock Island Independents, the Chicago Tigers, the Hammond Pros, the Minneapolis Marines. There were all kinds of interesting names, and it's pretty cool. The Staley Museum is a neat little gem in our community.
Oh yeah, and
they've got that the Staley's, you know, the Decatur Staley's room there with all the sort of the old merchandise and fun stuff and memorabilia.
Yeah, well, and to the, you know, so much history connected to A.E. Staley, and I remember, you know, going up into the Staley office building there. That's really quite a complex, and I know when I was mayor, several events were held there, and Senator Durbin and others would come by and be in the lobby. I mean, that was a very ornate lobby, that building.
And very Art Deco. Yeah. And then all of the, and it's still that. I mean, all of that is still there. Nick, have you ever had an opportunity to see all this stuff in person?
I've not seen any of that.
Yeah.
And so now it's on my to-do list.
All right. It's the small details like that they wouldn't do today. Like if you go to the elevators, you know, like the fine details of all the engraved corn and the murals that are up in the employee break room. There's just, and that one huge table in the conference room that's like one slab.
Yeah. Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And that impressed me when I went up and sat there. It's like that was an aircraft carrier in that.
Can't even imagine what that would cost to reproduce today.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder, you know, how'd they get it up there?
Yeah.
I guess you'd get it by a crane.
Crane, yeah.
Through the window.
Well, there's the great stories that, you know, outside that office area where those, you know, on both sides of the building are those two outdoor patios. And evidently, Mr. Staley had grass up there, and they'd bring in the lawnmowers, ride them up in the elevator, take them out there and mow the grass.
Yeah, what are you doing? Mowing grass today. We're top of the Staley building. It's my job. Yeah, and you look at the offices too. You know, back at that time, they were just so ornate, as you mentioned, the desks and everything, the curtains, the drapes, and I think in the history of Decatur, you look downtown, you look at the Staley Building, you look at so many things from 100 years ago, 100 years plus, the buildings, the old Millikan Bank building here, how ornate it was. You know, that's the way they used to build things, and I think part of it was it's showing prosperity. It's showing what we're about. And a lot of that has disappeared. And so it's nice to still have some of that, to look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's a great article. You can read a couple of pages worth about the Decatur Staleys and their final NFL game here in Decatur 100 years ago this month. We'll take a break, back with more Paul Osborne's in the studio, City Hall Insider. Here's Nick Smith with your 3-day forecast.
Today, we've got increasing clouds and a low of 57. And tonight, a chance of sprinkles before 1 a.m., cloudy with a low around 45. For Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 60. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 62. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 50 degrees. Your WSOI time is 7:20. And this look at your weather is brought to you by Moroa Lumber Company. Quality materials, trusted knowledge, and expertise.
Add curb appeal with the new Therma-True entry door from Moroa Lumber. Whether you want the look of real wood or a pop of color, you'll find a wide variety of styles to choose from. Therma-True doors are durable and energy efficient. They won't rot like wood or dent or rust like steel. They offer up to 4 times the insulation value of most wood doors and carry outstanding warranties. No wonder they're the most preferred entry door brand among building professionals. Discover the Therma-True doors at Moroa Lumber, 229 East Main in Moroa.
Honey, we need that new refrigerator. Remember, you promised.
Oh boy, I can't wait.
Excuse me? The other day you were really bummed and stressed all to pieces.
That was when you said you wanted to go to the lumber yard. But now we're going to Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Dennis Reagan, owner of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Do you dread making a new appliance purchase?
Boy, I sure was. You ever been in a big box store? Getting someone to help is like,
hello.
And how about service after the sale with reliable technicians?
I honestly didn't think that existed anymore.
Well, Dick Van Dyke has you covered.
Like nobody else. Honey, we can't just stop with the refrigerator. I want to get a new range, dishwasher, maybe a microwave.
Sure thing, but I planned on going to Dick Van Dyke. The lumber yard is for that new deck I need you to build.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Dick Van Dyke, appliance world. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, Paul Osborne in the studios. Last week when you were here, you were talking about that reenactment, and lo and behold, if you go to the City Beat column today, you uncovered some photos.
Yeah, and it kind of was a result of us talking about it last week, and our buddy Joel Fletcher was there, and one interesting thing I wrote about is, you know, I was the mayor at the time, and so I asked him to hold my hat, and he got right into character, said something like, yes, Mr. President. You know, so he was right in character, like, you know, as in the presentation. So I thought I'd been promoted already. So.
I saw Doug Zimke there, and there were several, the Ben Halligans. I mean, that's a great picture.
Yeah, and I really forgotten until we were talking about it and talking about, you know, the stovepipe hat and that. And I thought, you know, I should have some photos of that were taken. So kind of went back and relived that a little bit, and that's been quite a while ago, but the founding of Millikan and Teddy Roosevelt was there, and he was a part of that laying the cornerstone. So as we talked about the Decatur Staleys, there's a lot of great history in this community and attracting national figures that people know globally that they were in Decatur doing things here, and this is a special community.
Talk to me about the Millikan building a little bit. You know, you've been there for a while. I love the plaques on the side of the building. You know, I mean, we don't do stuff like that anymore.
No, you're talking about Millikan Court?
Yes.
Yeah. I started in business there on the fifth floor, you know, like 200 years ago. So I had two little rooms there. And at that time, it was called the Standard Office Building.
I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And it wasn't really kept up that well. The manager, I know, he was a really old guy, and he would smoke and throw his cigarettes in the trash can, so the fire truck came about every day like it was going to burn the building down. But and he gave me my first month's rent free, you know, to help me out. I think it was $50 or something. And so it's, but he was a nice little gentleman, always wore a suit, tie, and that. He was the building manager, but we really had a lot of good characters in there, you know, like attorneys from the past that had kind of should have retired earlier. And then 11 years ago, we were over on North Park, and they decided to downsize because there's so much equipment that we didn't need, that we moved back to the Millikan Court building. And it's kind of strange. I think some of the offices that we looked at were up on the sixth floor, but I waited too long and they were taken. So so we're on the fourth floor of that building and have great views out the window west, and you know, see downtown, see Lincoln Square, see all the leaves changing, and it's got a great view, and it's sure a dominant building in downtown Decatur right now.
Yeah, I love the fallout shelter and the marble staircases.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it feels modern enough, but when you get into the guts of the building, it feels like 100 years old.
No, you're exactly right. And I think that marble staircases, when I moved in there, you know, when I was a young guy in his early 20s, I moved in there. They were there. That staircase was there. And I walk in. That hasn't changed a bit. That's going to be there like 100 years after I'm gone. But there are things like that in the back stairway, going out the back way.
Yeah.
Very same as it was when I moved in when I was in my early 20s. And I see things like that. It kind of endears that building to me because I can walk down a hallway and say, yeah, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago. But the building is in better shape now, I will say, than it's ever been. That Tony Romano, Romano Company.
They've been great.
They've done a great job.
They got everything done for us ahead of schedule. And I say that, you know, that's not unusual for them, but you know, in all of this supply chain mess and everything, they got everything done ahead of schedule. And we can't wait. I was looking at a picture of it from 1896 of the Millikan building, and the facade has changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking to where we're moving into. I mean, that's just a weird thing to think about all that great history.
Oh, yeah. And it's so nice. I can't wait for you to be there. And I get on the elevator and go two floors up, and I'm there. I didn't think you could get any closer than when I was on Park. So it's just like you're just above me two floors, and about the same view out the window, except you're a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. It's the best view I've ever had, you know, from my office windows. And just to be able to see the sun reflecting on the buildings of the morning as it comes up. And, I'm going to love having everybody over there. And I've loved coming here to this studio. But
We're ready to be done with this studio. I would tell you also in that picture from 1896, there are horses parked out front.
Yeah, that's when I moved in.
Had a horse and buggy. All right. Paul, if people want to subscribe, maybe send it to a relative. The holidays are coming up. Great idea for a Christmas gift if maybe somebody's moved away.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it daily, but once a week, get caught up on what's going on locally. What's the best way for them to do that?
Either call us at 422-9702 or they can just send us a check for $40 to P.O. Box 1490, Decatur, Illinois, 62525-1490. And we'll get it started. And send a card out saying that you subscribe to the paper. And as you say, they get 52 papers in. So they remember your gift every week when it comes
in. Yeah, that's a great idea.
We have a lot of people that do that.
Yeah. Well, it's a great Christmas idea. We appreciate it, Paul. Have a great week. And we'll probably be back here next week, I'm quite certain. And then hopefully after that, we'll be in the new facilities. But we appreciate your support as always.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Paul Osborne, ladies and gentlemen, the City Hall insider, former mayor of Decatur, twice elected by the people of this community, and a longtime publisher of the Decatur Tribune.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.